Do you know how important the Bible is? Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ as we find them in the Gospel of John, in the 5th chapter, at the 39th verse. We're going to take this portion of Scripture at the latter part of chapter 5 in the book of John. So if you have the Gospel of John before you, and we'll open it up, chapter 5, beginning at verse 39, we're going to take the rest of this chapter, 39 to 47. And you'll notice that the whole passage has to deal with the witness of the Scriptures. Now, if you were keeping track of this as we've been going along and studying, you'll find that the Lord Jesus has been laying down, you might say, the ground upon which you could build your confidence in Him. You could, for instance, take the testimony of John the Baptist. That is to say, you could pay attention to the witness and the testimony of people who have been affected by the gospel, people who themselves have experienced the grace of God. And then we took note that you have a greater witness than that, and that is the witness of the works which are done, the results of the gospel, both the results you can see round about you and the results that you feel in your own self, and the witness in your own self when you feel that God is actually speaking to you through the gospel. And that is very important. But here you have something else, and something further. And there is something here that I think is very, very important. If you're going to come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to need to have it in words. Your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ needs to be expressed in the kind of words you can think, something that you can say, something that you can read and hear, so that it will come to your mind with some a form to it, so that you can get hold of it. And this we have in the Scriptures. Now, we realize that the way in which God works on the heart is unknown to us and unseen by us. It's like the wind blowing. You can't see it. So is the work of the Spirit. We understand that is the way it is so. But the Scriptures tell us that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit, and would imply that the Holy Spirit, working in the heart, uses the Scriptures to form the mind with reference to God. In any case, the testimony of the Scriptures is very, very important. Now, I might hear the witness of other Christians, how they've been blessed, and I might myself have personal experiences, answers to prayer, and so on, which would be profoundly, profoundly impressive to me. But in order for me to know for sure that the things that are happening to me are really of God, and for me to understand what these other people are saying, I need to have the Scriptures in mind. Because in the Scriptures, there is set out for us in a way that keeps it well balanced and well arranged and well ordered, so that I'll not be liable to go to extremes and to misunderstand things or to overlook certain important aspects. These things will be made clear to me in the Scriptures. And so here in this portion, in verses 39 to 47, we have the witness of the Scripture. And the first thing that we read is the word of our Lord urging us to search the Scriptures. This tells me immediately that the things that are in the Bible are not always lying on the surface, and they're not all just packaged in one place. We need to search the Scriptures. We need to compare Scripture with Scripture in order to get the understanding and the truth of it all. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Now, those Jewish people that were criticizing the Lord Jesus Christ and opposing Him, they still thought that they could actually discover the things of God in the Scriptures, and they were right, and that was true. He goes on to say, they are they which testify of me. Because actually, that's what the Bible does. It tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see now, with reference to the Scriptures, and where you see the word Scriptures, you may as well put the word Bible, because really that's what they are. The Scriptures are the Bible, and the Bible is the Scriptures. So now we will say that in the Bible, in the Scriptures, you think you have eternal life. That's the common expectation, and it's true. They are they which testify of me. And we can check it off in our minds that the Scriptures that you have in your hand, the Bible that you have right there in your hand, is the source of all the known truth among men about Jesus Christ. Because the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ is not a matter of popular opinion. You don't gather together folks who have thought about this and then take the ones that you favor and select those as telling you the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. Nor do you have the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ as a matter of common preference, that this is what everybody approves, therefore this is true about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not the way you get it. Nor is it a consensus of opinion. This is what everybody who reads the Bible or everybody who has ever had spiritual experience, this is what we all think. Well, now, that's not any help to me. What does the Scripture say? What does the Bible say? Because the Scriptures are given to us for this purpose. Then he goes on, however, to say this in verse 40, and I want you to notice it as I read along. You will not come to me that you might have life. And this he said to certain Jewish people, who, while they were standing right there before him and had seen the work that the miracles that he had performed, they had just seen him healing that lame man at the pool of Bethesda, they still would not come to the Lord Jesus Christ. They would not yield to him. And he points out why. He says, you will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men. So apparently this matter of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ includes the willingness on our part to believe. And these people were not willing to believe. Their failure to believe was actually related to a certain mental set which they had adopted. Apparently, if any person wants popular acclaim, if you want the people as a whole to approve you, you will not come to the Bible. This is what you have here. I receive not honor from men. I, the Lord Jesus saying, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not popular with human beings as such. And so you will not come to me because I am not the popular kind. I know you, he says in verse 42, you have not the love of God in you. Now you have the love of something else, certainly the love of man, the love of the praise of men. And there are any number of people who are tempted to love the praise of men more than they appreciate the fear of God or the thoughts of God. So we come to verse 43. And the Lord Jesus says these significant words, I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. The Lord Jesus saying, I am come in my Father's name. I'd like to tie that up with the things that he had said before and suggest to you that when the Lord Jesus Christ was here, he came to do the will of his Father. What the Almighty God was seeking to accomplish, the Lord Jesus Christ came to implement that, to bring that to pass. He didn't come in his own name. He said, I am come in my Father's name. That's not in my own name. He didn't come to work his own plans. He came to carry out the plans of God. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. It wasn't what you wanted. If another shall come in his own name, him you shall receive. That is, a person who comes along with his own ideas is more popular. And of course there's a reason for this, because that person who comes in his own ideas, he's popular because those of us who make him popular, we want to go by our own ideas. So we listen to his ideas, because then that'll let us have our ideas. And as long as we're filled with our own ideas, we favor the man who has ideas of his own, even if we differ with him. We can argue with him. He thinks he's right, we think we're right, and we have a big discussion. And we think we're getting somewhere in it. But if we were to come to the things of God and actually read the Word of God as if it was God's will, you have to humble yourself. You have to accept this as you read it, because it comes from God. And there are many human beings don't want to do that, and these were some of these. They did not want to humble themselves, and because they didn't want to humble themselves, they did not want to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see with reference to faith that there is an element of volition. There is a sense in which you are willing to believe. And if anybody is not willing to believe, you'll discover he won't believe. Apparently there is an aspect of choice in this matter of believing. You can commit yourself to something, and you will see that the aversion to Jesus Christ, the tendency not to commit oneself to the Lord Jesus Christ, is not on the basis of so much of what the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, or for that matter as to what the Lord Jesus Christ could do, but it is because of his way of living, because of the way in which the Lord Jesus Christ himself did. And he just told you, I receive not honor from men. He did not seek human esteem. I am come in my Father's name. There's no personal prestige or no personal position being featured. He came humbly as the obedient son, doing nothing by himself. His Father was working hitherto, and he worked. And for many people, this is entirely unacceptable. So we read, he says here, if another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. That is, the person who comes for personal advantage, other people will approve that because they're out for their personal advantage. So in verse 44, the Lord raises the question, how can ye believe? That is to say, how could you commit yourself to the truth of God, which receive honor one of another? Because anybody who accepts the truth of God isn't going to be honored by people. You'll get your honor only from God. So he says here, how can you believe? Psychologically, it's not possible for you to commit yourself over to the Lord, because you are the kind of people who receive honor one from another. You esteem each other, and you don't seek the honor that cometh from God only. In other words, as long as we are of the type who want to mutually praise one another, so that we proudly look around for anybody that will praise us, we'll praise them, and we esteem such as promise to esteem us, in this kind of a frame of mind, we're not disposed to come to the Lord. That's the way in which it was there. And then he says something further that I can only read over to you while you think of. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. And that was the Scriptures, because the word Moses here will refer to the Old Testament, in whom you trust. Then he says this amazing thing. Had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Anybody not willing to accept the Scriptures is not going to be able to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as he is. Our God and Heavenly Father, strengthen us in our willingness to respond and our willingness to receive the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ as it is set forth in the Scriptures. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.